Good morning. In the church's wisdom, we're given periods of time in order to prepare before Christmas and Easter. Prior to Easter, of course, we have Lent, where we focus on fasting and penance, repentance and almsgiving. But this space before Christmas is something quite different. Pulling from the readings of these past few weeks, we're told that Advent is the time for us to stay awake, to be alert, all the while listening and waiting and making straight our paths. Many look at this time to take an opportunity to look inward, to take notice of what needs to personally change in order to be prepared for the celebration of the birth of Christ. So what has your Advent been like? Outside of marking the time by lighting these candles each week, what do you see or feel or do differently? See, for me, it was similar to the Advent 2 years ago. We're in the week leading up to Gaudete Sunday, the time we're to rejoice. Our attention was averted to the tragedy at the Sandy Hook Elementary School in Newtown, Connecticut. For this Advent, we've been bombarded with stories of school shootings, racial discrimination, the violation of women on campuses, the jarring details of our country's treatment of prisoners of war, and while we were asleep last night, the execution of 2 police officers in New York City. A voice of one crying out into the desert, "Prepare the way of the Lord." This Advent has been filled with numerous voices crying out, and many of them unpleasant. But faced with these and other challenges, I think today's gospel gives us 3 points which may lead us to a better understanding of what we are called to do in our Advents. First, did you notice the amount of time names were used in the reading? See, throughout the years, Gospels are filled with stories of Jesus healing and forgiving, but most often it's the nameless, the woman at the well, the 10 lepers, etc. But in the few lines of Luke's Gospel today, we hear at least a dozen different names of people and places. The angel Gabriel sent by God to Nazareth in Galilee, to Joseph in the house of David, to a virgin whose name was Mary, who will bear a son and name him Jesus. You see, when a story is really important, it's necessary to clearly identify the situation and to name the names. This Advent, we've heard names like Trayvon Martin, Michael Brown, Eric Gardner, Tamir Rice, and now we can add NYPD officers Lou and Ramos. We heard the video being replayed time and time again of a man crying out, "I can't breathe, I can't breathe." I'm sure that similar cries came from those we waterboarded. So while the last words of Jesus spoke to his apostles in the Garden of Gethsemane was, "Stay awake," I think this Advent has shown our society in many ways to be silent and asleep. Brings me to the second nuance in the gospel, dialogue. If you go back and reread the gospel, you will find it's all dialogue, serious dialogue, about a young teenage girl not married and being told she will be pregnant and bear a son who will be the Son of God. It was all face-to-face, listening and speaking. No texting, no emailing, no tweeting, no Instagramming. No rumors or assumptions or innuendos. It's something I think we all need to examine in our lives and, frankly, as a country. If you don't believe me, ask the executives at Sony Pictures. We need to stop grasping at all the various media snippets and gossip and then rushing to our own communication outlets, fanning the flames of impassionate and often inaccurate fodder. Rather, we need to learn to have constructive dialogue, face to face with one another, and the first step being ready to listen to the other. We need to begin in our own homes, with our spouse and our children, our parents, then the workplace, and spreading outward. I fear we're losing the basic skill of having meaningful and honest conversations where both parties can safely be heard. John the Baptist said he came to testify to the light. Well, the light is shining on these issues, and we can no longer afford to bury our heads. For on this day, which provides the longest night of the year, Advent calls us to bring new light into this darkness. And lastly, Advent is not necessarily all about looking internally and focused just on yourself. It's about actively preparing the way. For the past 2 weeks, we heard the gospel accounts of John the Baptist baptizing with water as he was making straight the path and preparing for the Lord. But the action in today's gospel was the few words spoken by Mary. Yes, let it be done to me. It wasn't, I'll get back to you, or really, I'm kind of too busy for this, or not my problem. Upon hearing the angel's proclamation of her pending pregnancy, she had to be shocked, astonished, frightened, maybe embarrassed. Feelings we've all had. But she had the faith to say yes. Yes to what was present to her. You see, God's in it all. As Paul says in his letter to Corinthians, God will be all in all. God can and will use everything. Absolutely everything. And actually, it's God who's doing the waiting. Waiting for us to say yes to naming what needs to be called out. Yes to have open and honest dialogue. Yes to make the changes that are needed in our lives and in our society. For Advent calls us to be aware, awake, and alert. Advent calls us to be conscious to how Christ comes to us. And Advent calls for our participation by opening our eyes to our own brokenness and that of society. Christ is in it all, just waiting for us and wanting our active participation. And here's the kicker. While the liturgical calendar tells us Advent's over in 3 days, Advent really never, ever ends. For Christ is always and forever coming. And we are constantly being called to cry out in order to straighten paths in our society and in our lives. We must refuse to allow suffering and injustice to silence us, but rather to focus and force ourselves to re-echo God's love. But the presence of so much pain in the world does not diminish our need to celebrate. It actually makes it more necessary. It's how change can happen. It's how wounds are healed. My friend, author and artist Jan Richardson, recently defined celebration as a means to practice our willingness to see the presence of love in the midst of brokenness and to ask how God might work through us to put the broken pieces back together again. So in 3 days' time, we will once again celebrate what began with Mary's yes and the birth of her son, Jesus the Christ. And using the words from my favorite carol, let us pray that our soul will feel its worth, that the chains within our society will be broken and oppression will cease, and that all people joyously echo the thrill of hope that perhaps our weary world will indeed rejoice.